Good morning, people. Are you awake? How's the winter coming back treating you? We love the Netherlands, you know? Always undecisive, you never know how it's going to turn out. So, but it's good. It's great to be here in the house of God. And, you know, for those that are here for the first time, my name is Fernando. I'm originally from Mexico, and I promise the church that I will, at the end of the year, speak some more Dutch for sure. So I'm working hard on it, but still not there. So God, you know, God's blessing should be there. I'll be living strong. But hey, we're living amazing times now. You know, we can see what we just saw on the screens right now, the you know, color conference. We're a church that believes in women. And, you know, it's all in the media and how this inclusive message and this inclusive thing as if it was new. But the truth is that we believe Jesus came here, you know, a few hundreds of years ago, and just to say we are all equal because God loves us and we are all inclusive. And I love being in a church where that believes in women just so strong that we believe that women can change the world just as men can do. So, you know, I want to encourage you all the time. We're part of a bigger family, which is Hillsong Family, and all the things that we have together, we do together. And as you saw today, you know, 12,000 women getting together, praising and worshiping God, but also hearing a message of transformation and how can we change the world through what we can do. Together, you know, by one, we can do a little bit, but when we all do it together, we can make a huge impact. And that's what we believe when we're here at church. You know, the church that we believe that we are, it's not a church that just goes and does little things on Sunday, but it's a church that actually works together to make a difference in the city. And that's what we're here. So I want to encourage you, if you're a girl, you know, this is the best time to buy your ticket. It's a lot cheaper now. So it's a great thing. You go as a group, all the girls. We're trying to see if next year we get, you know, we can reserve quite a few rooms in one hotel. And all the Tailbird girls can go as much as possible. And then you can go and have fun. It's a lot of fun. It's amazing. And be exposed, yeah, and be exposed to a big picture, a big church. Because, it, you know, we're part of something that God is doing and transforming in this nation. So we like to believe that. So, you know, if you are a guy and wants to date a girl and you like a girl that you want to date, I always say the best thing you can do is to say, hey, baby, here is your color ticket. I bought it for you. Let's go and have dinner together. You know, they will love you forever. Trust me. So it's the best gift you can give. If you're interested in a girl, if you love your wife, you say, hey, you know, I will take care of the kids. We've been having a couple of single dads this week with all the guys taking care. How many of the guys, raise your hands? How many of you were alone? The kids are still alive. If your kid's not alive anymore, don't raise up your hand. But, you know, some of us taking care of the kids. I had, you know, a few days of fun with the kids, and I love it because they're girls. So I believe that as guys, we have to get behind our women and just, you know, help them and release them to do everything they can do so that God can bless them. So, but hey, you know, we've been talking a lot about what can we do as a foundations on our church and our life. The reality is that church sometimes, sadly, especially in the region that we are, became a place where it was more about, you know, just a religious thing. So sort of a traditional thing. Going to church became a tradition for many when it's like, oh, it's something that we do on Sundays. And on Sundays, I just show up and I tick the box. And because my grandma or my father told me or my mom told me, you have to tick the box of church going. And that's what we do every Sunday. But we're in a church that doesn't believe that. We actually believe that you come here to really hear and be in an atmosphere where we can impact your whole week. Because this place, what we're trying to create, is an area where we can all grow together. But also, we love to hear different areas of, and where the message, what the Bible says about our lives, and how can we apply the Bible to our lives, and how can we can be released to live a bigger life, because we believe that God has blessed us with a life so that we can live bigger lives. But, you know, we've been talking about, I've been talking a couple of times about the foundations of our life and how important it is. I believe we've been talking before about relationships, how relationships is one of the key cornerstones that you put on the foundation of your life. If you have a good relationship, then everything else around you will start to shape properly. You know, it's being very clearly made. The friends, the people that are around you, the family that they are around you, the people that you surround with will declare or we determine the type of life that you're going to have in the future. So that's why it's so important to choose to have the right relationships and to be and to become yourself the right relationship person, to become the right person that God has called you to be so that we can live a bigger life and make others live bigger lives than what you are living. So that's what we believe. And then we talk a little bit about finance and how important is money in our lives and how it is important, not because it's about making more and having more, but it's about helping others and how the resources that we have and how to be good steward can make a life totally different in different lives. Like we're hearing, you know, we're blessing. We're glad to be in a church as a family, all the CLC churches this Sunday, where we're going to get together and get together money to Sri Lanka and to put it into an organization that actually has a couple of hundred churches in Sri Lanka. And some of them are the ones that were destroyed. But we want to put people, you know, money for people and be blessing to people that actually need it, because a lot of the people that died did not have, you know, it's a culture that cannot afford health insurance. I know, you know, that here everyone has 32 health insurance and life insurance and every insurance that you can get. You even insure your dog, you know, in case the dog barks too loud. We have insurance for that in the Netherlands. But, you know, but in other places, they don't have insurance. So a lot of people that died, they don't get blessed. And the families that are left, they have nothing. So we want a church, as a church, we want to bless others. And that's why money is important, because we believe that we can be a blessing. And what is for us a little bit of money, for them is huge. It can be such a big difference. So that's why we talk about money. But today I want to talk about another very important foundation for our lives. And that's the spiritual part. Because we know that that's also a very important. So relationships is important. How you handle your finance and how you handle your spiritual life. Other important. And the next one, the last very important song is going to be health. But I leave it to the end because I still need to convince myself about that one. No, because, you know, I believe that there's another. But today we're going to talk about spiritual life and how God is really setting us to be spiritual people. So the title of the message today is, Where is Your Rest? Where is your rest? Because spirituality, a lot of people think that it has to do with this hocus pocus type of, you know, you see it on the movies, and it's this super spiritual thing that is just supernatural thing that we have to sort of look on movies or look at something, or some of us might come from, church backgrounds where the super spirituality was like people moving and falling, and you know, and you put the cloth on top of the people and then the cloth of the people. I don't know how many of you come from cloth church. You know, I came from some of that. Very funny. All the cloth ministry happening. But, you know, like spirituality has been based on like, hey, you know, something that is out there that is not for us or not for humanity or not normal kind. But, you know, a lot of research has been done now. And now even companies have realized how important our spiritual life is, because God, we were created in the image of God. And God is a God that is three parts. And we are also spirit, mind, and body. So we have to, you know, the soul, our body, but also our spirit. And the truth is that for us, spirituality is very important. And it's so funny, I was reading a book, one of the important persons of Google, one of the founders or one of the parts of the developers on Google, they wrote a book about, you know, finding yourself and how important it is. And it's so funny that you look into these books that have been selling millions and millions, and now Google and all these important companies around the world are doing these spiritual retreats because they realize that most of the high executives in the highest positions, they make big decisions, living big lives. They realized that the burnout rate was so high. And it was they tried to find out what was the problem. And they thought, oh, it's too much work. It's too much pressure, too much decision making. And they realized after they studied a lot that we're missing a spiritual side. And it's so funny that a church of Jesus Christ has lived with that secret of how important it is to be connected with our God and with our spirituality. But now the business world has to come up as if, oh, it's something new. you know, is revolutionary. The humanity, humans, need a spiritual connection. And they portray it as, oh, it's something new, it's different, you know. And now they charge you hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to a spiritual retreat so you can find your spirituality. I think we will start charging money to come from, no, we're not starting trying to come to church. But the funny thing is everything is available to us. And we tend to think, oh, church is just a place where I get along and I hook up and I tick the box again and then I leave. But the truth is, this is a place where it's just like, you know, when you connect your phone and your phone has a battery. And if you come here, it's to connect your God. When you praise God, when you lift his name, when you connect spirituality, when you have a room of people that believes and has a spiritual background behind you, it is just like charging your phone. It is not just a box that you take. It's a place where you say, you know what? I come to church so I can live my whole week full on and recharge my batteries. But the problem is when Christians just come to church and they think, oh, for 1.5 hours, I'm going to plug my phone and it's going to last the whole week. Well, the truth, my friends, it's try to do that with your iPhone and let's see how long it lasts. You know, if we don't do it with our phones, what do we do it with? Why do we do it with our lives? Then we just think, oh, you know, a Sunday is enough to live a spiritual life. It is not enough. God created us to have an important relationship with him all the time. And that's why it's important, because where is your rest? You know, we're living in a world that is full of stress and full of different things that are happening. Burnout, depression, loneliness, all these things are happening around us. And it is not because, you know, the world is changing so fast. Yeah, it is part of that. But the reality is that we have lost connection with the principles of life, with relationships, with health, with our finances, but also with our spiritual part. So today I want to talk to you about something very important, that it is, where is your rest? How are you getting your rested? And I'm going to use just one part of the Bible, because, you know, sometimes people say, oh, the Bible or the message is not deep enough. Well, you know, you can get as deep as possible from one part of the Bible only. So we want to talk about just one part of the Bible. One of my favorite verses or parts of the Bible in Psalms 23. A lot of people might know even the Psalms 23 because it's used in many areas. So Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm using the New Living Translation because I like the context that he put. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along with right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkness valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. This is one of the most important verses. Now, you probably seen it or read it or heard it in funerals, in weddings, in every area, because this has became sort of like a nice thing to say. But there's a lot of truth hiding behind it about what our lives, our spiritual lives, should be about. So I want to go through it, you know, sort of deglossing all the parts that this amazing chapter has. Because it has a lot of messages on how we can live our spiritual life. So I want to give you a few of the tips from Psalm 23 on how to build strong spiritual life. All right? The reality is that the world is becoming stressful and more stressful. And the message that the world is saying is, live shorter lives. Live out of rest. And on rest, you need more holidays. And if you have 25 days of holidays, you need 30. And if you have 30, take 40. And people leave from holiday to holiday. They come back from the holiday, and they come on Monday, and they're like, how was your holiday? Oh, it was good. Why are you sad? Because I have to wait for another year to leave for a holiday. And that's a horrible way of living life. We should be in a place where we come from holidays refreshed to say, okay, now I'm ready. What are you ready for? I'm ready for that promotion. I'm ready for more responsibility. I'm ready to finish my exams, not with a 5.5, but with a 10. All my students love it when I tell them that. They don't. You know, 5.5, no, I'm going for the 10 now. So I'm going on holidays so I can refresh myself, so I can be better and bigger and live a bigger life. But we live in a world where we was like, oh, you know, I'm tired. I'm so stressed. There's so much. And the first thing they tell you, do less. You know, live less. Don't push yourself. Just go. Don't do it. And yeah, there's occasions when it's been so much that you have to do that. But the reality is that it is depending on who you put your rest. Going on holidays doesn't mean you're resting. Sometimes it just means that you're putting things under the carpet. And as soon as you come back, you take it out. It's like, oh, it's still there. So for a couple of days, we put things under the carpet thinking, oh, you know, my depression, my loneliness, my everything, I'm going to put it down and I'm going to Bali and I'm going to enjoy, I'm going to drink and take the sun as much as I can because I live in the Netherlands and there's no sun, so I have to do this, you know. So I go there and I forget about everything, but then when I come back, everything's still there. So instead of living from rest, we're living for rest. And the truth is, the Bible says here, a spiritual life doesn't mean hocus pocus and all these things. Yeah, there's that part of supernatural. But a spiritual life is just to have a personal relationship, a connection with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is about a constant relationship. Because that's the way we learn to live, from rest, not for rest. Because when we rest in Him, everything else around us looks very different. So I'm going to give you a couple of tips. I know it's a few of them, but a couple of tips around how to bring a strong spiritual life. The first tip, start the day with a prayer of gratitude and acknowledging God in your life. The first part of the chapter that we read, God is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. How many times do we wake up and then we say like, oh no, I'm missing this, or I'm having this problem, or I'm having that situation, or my wife, my wife is not well, or my husband, you know, he was snoring the whole night, horrible, or all these things, or my kids are not doing well, we wake up and the first thing we do is we program ourselves to look at, go to Facebook, oh, other people's lives, look how perfect they look, look how good they were, or look, going to CNN, I confess I'm one of those, going to the news, what is happening in the world, and the world is always about war here, a negative thing, and bomb there, and things there, and happening there. But the truth is that it says here very clear, start the day with a prayer of gratitude and acknowledging God in your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. You know? And when you hear about sheep, I don't know, we live in a very industrialized world, but when you hear about sheep, the sheep, they don't make the decisions to say like, oh, this is the best grass that I have. You know, I'm going to go there. And the shepherd says, no, go there. And the sheep says, like, no, I'm going there because that's where the grass is. You know, we don't see that. It doesn't happen like that. A shepherd actually goes and says, look, the green grass is there. There is safety. There is good things. So when you are a sheep, it doesn't mean that you're doing bad life or you're just following for the sake of following. It's because you know that the Lord is there to give you better life. So that's what spirituality means. Starting with your day, saying, praising God, thanking God, and thanking for everything you have. And if there's not much going on for you that is good, at least be thankful that you are alive and healthy. You know, thank you, I can breathe. Thank you, I have a roof on top of me. Thankfully, we live in a world or in a country where there's not many people here that will not have a roof on top of you. So at least be thankful for whatever we have, because I have all I need. We need to learn to live with that conviction. Everything I need is here. If you have a husband, you have to say, thank you, I have a husband. I don't like him that much today, but thank you, I have it. Because God gave it to me so I can grow myself into it. Because the first thing we have to do is acknowledge that God is there, that God is your shepherd, and you have everything you need for that day. The second thing to build strong spiritual life is create a space in your house where you can pray, study, meditate in Him. And it's not only in your house, it's also in your life. Create a room or an area where you can dedicate yourself to pray, study, and meditate in God. It says very clear here, he lets me rest in the green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. How many of us go through life through a position of stress, stress, stress? Going on the train, stress. Going on, going to work or to school, stress. Going home, all messy. Everything is upside down. Laundry over there, laundry over here, laundry over there. And what happens is we don't create an area where we can actually have on purpose, say, okay, this is the area I'm going to use to clear out my mind, to clear out my spirit, to make sure that I live a life that is bigger. Because when you are under pressure, when you are overspanning, that is very normal here, when you are overstressed here, it is already too late sometimes to make that change. So my encouragement is, how many of you have a room in your place, in your home, or even when you walk around, you have a favorite, trees near the school, or a favorite pathway on the bike, or a favorite something that just allows you to think and refresh, because we need to do it. And we don't need to do it once a week. This is a place where we're trying to make an atmosphere of refreshingness and fun and good thing. So we try to create this as a home where you can feel corrected. But one day a week, 1 hour and a half, is not going to help you. So you need to put together, create a space in your house or in your life where you can pray, study, and meditate in Him. Where you can turn off the phone. There's a very, very powerful function in our phones that can change our lives. And it's very hard to make it. It's very hard to turn it. It's called turn off button. It's very hard to achieve it. But we need to have it. Because sometimes in our phone, we have so much distractions that we think, oh, we're so stressed. Have you used your phone? Have you used that very important function, off? Turn off your phone for a little bit and think about what God has done for you or what God is doing for you. Or just prepare for the day. Because you have a challenging day. How many of those are we created? The third thing that we need to do, I believe, for a strong spiritual life. Spend time meditating in the quiet place. Look at your breathing and slow down. It says here, He renews my strength. I don't know if you're aware, but again, going to this research that a lot of people have done, and they call it, it's very funny because this is a new movement in the business world. It's called mindfulness. And they think that mindfulness is about a spiritual connection and a connection with the spirit. And again, this is not new. It's there. And the church has had that secret for many years, But the important thing is to breathe. Learn to breathe. The way we breathe is to say, God, take rest. And it's been proven that the way we breathe, if we breathe consciously and we just relax, if you relax your body, you relax your brain, and your whole body starts just working out at relaxation. Because meditation is something that is hocus pocus. It was created by God so that we learn to rest in Him. Because it says in the Bible, He guides me through a resting place. So learn to breathe and to connect with God and just to say, God, you are in control. It's not me in control, but you that is controlling me. So spend time meditating in a quiet place and look at your breathing and slow down. Slowing down for 10 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes a day will not kill your life. Will actually make it better and bigger. And the fourth thing, spend at least 10 minutes a day in the Bible, reading the Bible, and getting wisdom from relevant books that are going to help you. So it says here, He guides me along through the right paths, bringing honor to His name. It is very important we understand that we were created with the image of God, but we were meant to be in constant connection. And the only constant connection we can get is through reading His word, reading what He says about us, finding identity in who He says we are, and know what the people and our surroundings are saying who we are. So it is so important that we understand to spend at least 10 minutes. Something I love doing when I go to work, I love being on my bike. Because that's the time when I take time, you know, I read my Bible and then I jump on my bike and I put something on the podcast. You don't even have to read anymore. You put something on a podcast about, you know, a great message about what your life can be, or, you know, growing your life, expanding your territory, you know, serving for others. And just through that, through doing that, my 10, 15 minute bike ride that I have, it becomes a place where I can be relaxed. And I can come out of work so totally upset because my student again went for the 5.5 and they didn't achieve it. And they made me work hard. And they sent me a lot of emails because they said, oh, it's your fault that I didn't work hard enough. So now can I have a receipt? And that really puts me upset. Like, you know, like, why do you make me work hard? You should have worked harder, you know? But anyways, you come out of work. I know, sorry that I'm a sinner. But, you know, when I work hard and then I come frustrated and I go on my bike and I start listening to a good message, all of a sudden I get home and I'm relaxed because I've heard something new. I heard something refreshing and it relaxes my life. So let's create a time when we have. Then no wonder why we are so stressed. If we are all connected 100% of the time to social media, and if not, we're working, and if not, we're studying, and if not, we're busy, busy, busy. We make ourselves busy with the wrong things instead of the right things. The next thing that comes again from Psalms 23, sit in stillness, even when there are challenges in your life. One of the most important parts of the Bible that I love it is just be still and know that I am. You know, God says, be still and know that I am. You know, it says here, even when I walk through the darkness valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. And I love that part. Be still means try to stop being in control. Your life might be collapsing right now. Maybe your marriage is not going very well. Maybe you are going through a divorce. Maybe you're going through a tough time in your health. Maybe you're going through a tough time in your student life. Or maybe your relationships, you know, you're not being very successful in relationships. And you think, oh, no one likes me. No one loves me. The best thing that you can do is to be still and say, God, you are in control. You're the God, the one that guides me. Even when there's challenges, one of the things that it makes me think a lot is like how is it possible that a lot of you know, sometimes a lot of churches have sold the idea that when you take Christ and Christianity, then your life is going to be beautiful. There's not going to be challenges. It's like Santa Claus, you know. God, give me, do me. Oh, boom. And we wake up saying, God, please, let me pass the exam. Please, let me get the girl or the guy. God, please, you know, fix my wife. Because she is the problem, not me. You know? We that's the first thing we do. But the reality is that God is there to say, be still. Be still and just don't think about what you're going to do, but just think about what I can do through you. Because that's the key. You know, when it says here, it's very funny, but when it's talking about your rod and shall protect and comfort me, I don't know if you are aware. But in that case, your rod, I don't know if you've seen the rod that it used to be used before with the shepherd, you know, all the people that used shepherds. You know, there used to be a rod and it had like a hook on the top. And there was a hook on the top and on the bottom is just like a stick, all right? And I don't know if you know, but the hook on the top, the part that is like a circle, it's for the sheep that want to go away so that the shepherd can go actually grab it and bring it back to what it needed to be. So that's the part of the grace of God when he says, you know what, you're going that way, but by my grace, I'm going to grab you and I'm going to guide you again to the path I created you to have. So that's the shell, you know, God is saying, hey, don't go there, please. You know, I love you. I want the best for you. Come here and look, here is the green pastures. Here's a, oh, but you know, but that guy looks so cute. Look, the muscles, six pack, you know. It's a six-pack. God is the six-pack. And God says, like, six-pack's going to be gone as soon as you marry. Just go here, you know. That six-pack's not going to last forever. But we go into the six-pack. God, please. If you're married, you will know the six-pack would last 10 days. I always say, honeymoon, six-pack's gone, you know. But, you know, God uses his shaft to say, like, hey, come here. I love you. This is the green area. But also he uses his rod, which is the other part of the other thing. Where is the stick? And the stick is more for us to be corrected. You know, when we are not doing well, and you know, it's very funny because they a lot of the church traditionally have said, oh, God is a God that said, you're wrong. No, he doesn't do that. He actually says, look, follow the path. This is the path. This is the green pasture. And if you go away, he will use a little bit of the stick. Hey, you know, if you see your shepherds in that time, they don't go like, boom, whack the thing, break the legs, and they're like, yeah, now you can go back. No, that doesn't work. You know, God is a good shepherd, and he goes in with the stick. You know, if you've done a little bit of shepherd, sheep minding thing, I don't think many of you might. How many of you have done sheep minding here? None of you. Oh, yeah, one. There you go. I've done it. And I'm not made for it, because I was like, man, this is horrible. You know, being like this and chasing sheep everywhere. It's like, it's not my job. Anyway, there's I love what we do. But, you know, but a shepherd always goes with the little rod saying, hey, God, come this way, come that way. I'm going to keep you safe because there's lions there. There's bears there. There's something. And that's what God says. Be still. Let me do it for you. Let me work on what you want. Look first my kingdom, and everything else will come to you. But we live in a world where we've been told, oh, you had to make it happen and make it work hard and make it happen. You know, if it's not happening, make it happen. You know, if you want the best job, make it happen. Work hard and just do. Kill yourself. Kill yourself and work hard and until you cannot work more. That's wrong. But you know, you have to work so hard that you almost not have fun. You don't have any social life. That's the way you get success. And the truth is, there's no success behind that. But the truth is, when you still, God will be there and show in the challenging parts of your life. The sixth thing, ask God to support you in a challenging time. It says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. What it's saying there is, even in the midst of a challenge, God is there with a fist. And he says, your enemies are surrounding you. Things are not going well in your life. Here is a fist for you so you can refresh, so you can restore, so you can think about me, and so that you can rest. I give you strength to go through life. I'm not pulling you from the problem. I'm giving you strength to go through the problem, because God is there to make us grow, not to take us from something that is going to be good for us in the future. And the next thing, build your identity in Christ, knowing who you are in him and that you have a purpose. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Oil in those times, it meant you being anointed, you being given a promise. You are the chosen one. That's what oil was made to do. When kings were anointed, when we were chosen as king, they were anointed with oil at that context, historical context. And what it says here, you have anointed me. God has given us the ability to be with him. Our identity is we're sons and daughters of the living king. We need to learn to appreciate and look at us. Not from what people told us in the past. Not what people tell us now. But what he has told us in our future. We are a beautiful creation. Loved by him. And we've been anointed. And it says, my cup overflows with blessings. We've been blessed. We've anointed, chosen. We've been blessed so we can be a blessing to others. To build your identity in who you are, knowing that in him you have a purpose. And the last thing that it says, build a spiritual community that shares your values and spend time together lifting each other. It says here, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The truth, my friends, is we don't put this just to have a nice day on Sunday and just to, you know, cool lights and nice music and just have a nice coffee and good cookies. That's awesome. That's part of being welcome home. But the truth is we put it here so that we can be right there, having a spiritual community that's going to speak life to each other, that is going to encourage each other, that is going to say like, bro, you're going through a tough time. I'm going to pray behind you so you can go to a better time. You're going through challenge. I'm going to go through the challenge with you because we're going together with this. You're not alone on this. Because we need each other to live here. Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. David, who was the writer of this, he understood the principle. The principle was you need to live a life that is surrounded by others, not by your own, not on your own, not on social media. That didn't exist. But, you know, having a social media group of friends doesn't mean that you have a lot of friends. But having real friends, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe 10 or maybe 100 that are going to go behind you. And it's like, you know, my kid is sick. What is happening? And we all going to go around and say, hey, we're going to pray and believe that God is going to do something with it. And we're going to see a supernatural. Or, you know, I am depressed. I don't know what to do. And you just going to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take you out for coffees. No matter if you feel like it, no matter if you're in your pajamas, I'm going to come and build or make coffee for you and bring cake so you don't feel lonely. So we are here about making a community that makes a difference in others' lives. So all the things that I told you to build a strong spiritual life, they come from only one verse. But there's many verses like that in the Bible, where the Bible has so much insight in there. And you know what? All the points that I just gave you, the people that pay that hundreds of thousands to people in Google and other companies, they're actually points that come from here. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. They think that the spiritual connection is all following all those steps. And that just comes from one verse, one part of the Bible that says, it's about you being still. Let me do the work for you. I will take care. I will follow you. You will surround yourselves with friends and a community that goes through the journey of you. And that's what real spirituality is about. It's not hocus pocus, weird stuff. It is about just a spiritual, everyday connection, spending time with Him in what you have. So I want to encourage you, church. Let's just become spiritual people. Let's just be spending time with Him, taking care of ourselves, investing in the right relationships, making sure that we have the right path, and making sure that we follow the right words. Because only by that, we can transform the world. And I am a strong believer. You know, again, the limitations, if we talk about limitations, I don't even speak Dutch. And I'm, you know, I have the privilege and honor to build a church in the Netherlands. Why did God put me here? I have no clue. Because He knows better. Maybe because I like food and you guys like food too. I don't know. But you know what? Limitations, there's a lot. But it's either or decision. We look at the limitations and we look at Him that has no limits. And the only limit that we can find is in ourselves, in between our head. It's all here. We need to connect with Him so He comes from here to here, and then we can live a bigger life. So while we are here, I want for everyone to practice a little bit while we just talk. So if everyone can close your eyes. Everyone here, close your eyes. Try to sit down in your chair properly. Don't lay the forward. Try to relax. Just relax your muscles. Relax everything. And start breathing. Just a deep breath in and then out through the mouth. And in again. And out through the mouth. Start seeing your body just being relaxed and your muscles relax while you're still breathing. You start seeing your body relax and your muscles relaxing. And now just start thanking God. While you're still breathing and you're just relaxing, start thanking God for whatever you want to thank Him. Start thinking about your family, about your friends. While you keep breathing in and out, start thinking and thanking Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Him for the day, for the beautiful Dutch weather. Just thank Him for everything while you keep breathing. Thank you, God. And I would like to know here, if any of you, while you keep your eyes closed, if any of you is going through a tough time, maybe it's a family situation, maybe it's a work situation, maybe it's a challenging thing, but if I can see your hand, if you can lift your hand, if you're going through a tough time, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Maybe it's choices that you have to make, maybe it's things that you have to do. Thank you. All right. So while we keep breathing, everyone just keep breathing and thanking God for everything. I'm going to pray for those that lift up their hands. Father, we know that we have to be still for You. And today, God, is a day that we're going to be still and pause. And we pray in Jesus' name that just as Your word says, that we have to be still and know that You will give us the strength to go through these, that You will bless every single person that lifts up their hands. For those that are tired, for those that are oppressed, for those that are depressed, for those that have to make a decision, we pray right now, Father, God, give people peace and a sense of rest. God, use the rest and the Holy Spirit, supernatural rest on every single one of these people that lift out their hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us be resting, God, in Jesus' name. And while we keep this atmosphere with your eyes closed still, I want to ask other type of people. If we've been talking about a spiritual connection, but you've probably been to a church before, you've been to a different setting before, and you've heard this message, but you probably went away, or you've never made a decision. But there's only one way, and we believe there's one way that we can get a spiritual connection, and that is through having Jesus Christ, receiving Him as our Savior in our heart. So I want to make an invitation. If you're here today, and you've never made that decision, I want to give you an invitation. We do it every Sunday. To say that, to give that decision, make that decision to say, Jesus, I want You to control my life. It's not me, no longer me, no longer I that I control my life. So if you're one of them, if you are in that position, if you would like to make a decision, I would like to raise up your hand right now. If there's anyone here in the room that would like to say, Jesus, I want a connection with You. Is there anyone here? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. You can put down your hands. Thank you. For those that, all the church together, let's pray this together. Also including the people that raise up their hands. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank You for a new life. Forgive everything in my past and show me how to do life with You. Thank You for new relationships and a new, bigger life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. So give a hand to the people that made a decision. Hey, I want to make an invitation to you guys. You know, I love seeing the photos and the things that are happening in other places in the world. And I think God wants to do the same here. If what we talk today about having a rest and having, you know, a spiritual connection with Him, it really resonates with you, let's make ourselves the real, the people that go out and say, hey, come to church. Come to church not because you're going to have religious experience, not because you have to, you know, do something or don't do something. Just come because there's going to be a better life for you. And I want to encourage you. You know, there's a potential. There's 200,000 people in Tilburg, only in Tilburg. If you put them both, and if you put Eindhoven together, which is only 25-minute drive, you know, we're talking about 500,000 people in between all of that. So we can all use this. Sharing the gospel is not sharing about, you know, not going with your Bible bashing. Hey, you have repented and your world. That's not what we mean. We have to say, hey, your life can be better. Your life can be bigger. Your life can be about making a difference in others. So I want to encourage you to become people that just connect people with His Savior. All right?